Heard about the Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh from Runakan. Next door neighbor Myanmar continues what the UN describes as ethnic cleansing against civilians and genocide. If we drill a bit deeper, Rakhine State holds oil and gas fields which produce 20 million cubic meters of climate-changing gas per day. It's mostly exported to China in the Sino-Myanmar pipeline. Thus, China can bypass the Straits of Malacca by using ports in Rakhine State. It's a key area in the Belt and Road Project. Does it sound familiar? Genocide. Oil and gas. Economic interests. This takes us to Gaza, where offshore gas is also a factor in the horror story that has seen Gaza crushed since 2023. Here is Mr. Shamik Bhadra speaking at a public meeting at Green Left offices in Sydney this year. It was a meeting in connection with the Rising Tide Climate Action Group, and you will hear how they are in solidarity with Palestine and against the Australian export of coal to Israel.
Last night, I met a family in Gaza who came to Sydney, and I was in discussion. I want to update to know the details about the situation. And they told me the situation became so dangerous after the genocide. And they are talking about things people, perhaps media are not interested or didn't cover that in the media, like the children were talking how the sewage water, like, were in the tents everywhere, especially when it's raining, then the sewage with water mixed together, which is so dangerous. They reminded me about the situation regarding how the bodies, the dead bodies in the streets everywhere, because no one, and it's not easy to bury them, and how the dogs, cats, rats, like, eating their bodies. This is so dangerous about the environment and about the smell of these bodies. And I remember some people told me, you are lucky that you found someone to bury your father in this genocide. Otherwise, the cats and dogs can eat his body. So we are talking about terrible situation regarding affect not only about human beings, also affect the environment in general. White phosphorus. I remember when I was in Gaza how they were bombed by phosphorus. It was burning human flesh, burning trees, burning soil. Like, it make farmland unusable. It poison water. It stays in the environment for years. This is not just war. It's ecocide. Now, during this genocide, Israel has bombed greenhouses and farms. Thousands of animals have died, not only from bombs, but from hunger and thirst. There is no food, no water, no plants left. Even if there is water, it's not clean. It's terrible. You can't imagine now there is no trees. Then I asked my friends, they told me no trees, because people, Palestinians, forced to cut these trees in order to make food and to make fire to when this cold weather. Everything destroyed in Gaza. It's important to focus also about the bodies under the rubbles. A lot of people were under the rubbles, around 15 or to 20,000 under the rubbles, their body under the rubbles. They didn't pass away quickly. It took time to pass away. My brother and his family were one of these people who were under the rubbles. And behind it all, gas. Gaza fields lie just off the coast of Gaza. This war is also a war of control of land and resources for domination of the Middle East environment and economy. That's why struggle for Palestine is a part of the climate struggle. Because environmental justice means fighting colonialism. Because the Israeli occupation doesn't just target people, it targets earth itself. It destroys land, trees, and seas, and the sea. It destroys any possibility of life. And the Western countries support Israel, especially America, with bombs, with money, and they are silence and protect Israeli occupation. This is what imperialism looks like. But I am here with hope, because around the world, people are waking up. Palestine Solidarity is now the largest sustained anti-war movement in history. Many of you support the Freedom Flotilla, not launched by Palestinians, but by activists, some of them climate activists, including Greta Thunberg, who see Palestine as a part of the same fight. These activists brought food and baby medicine from Yola, not weapons. They stood for life, for environment justice, for Gaza children, for the world where no child is poisoned by war, by pollution, or by poverty. So today I want to ask, how do we build common goals and common struggles? How do we make sure that environmental justice means justice for Palestinians too? How do we join forces across oceans, across movements, to fight for a world where no child is bombed and no land is poisoned? This is not justice about Gaza. It's about all of us. If we stay silent while bombs fail on children, while water is poisoned, while trees and farms are burned, then we are allowing this destruction to continue. But we are not silent. We are here to say enough is enough. Palestinians deserve life, safety, and dignity like anyone else in the world. The earth deserves to be protected and not destroyed by war. There can be no climate justice without justice for Palestine, no peace without freedom, no future without decolonization. Let's stand together for life, for land, for liberation. Let's build this struggle together. Thank you.